get into Galatians, the fourth chapter. We just finished the third chapter last week, and we're now moving on to the fourth chapter. And I just want to read Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive, underline this, the adoption of sons. Amen. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts. Hallelujah. Crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Amen. Praise God for the reading of his word. I want to speak to you today from the title, The Security of the Child of God. Amen. The security of the child of God. All right. Now, the first verse we're dealing with here, Galatians 4 and verse 1, it says, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. In ancient times, there was a process where people were either brought under captivity or, because of hard times, decided to place themselves under the lordship of another human being who had either more than them or could offer them certain amenities, if you will. And then there was, unfortunately, some situations where slaves were brought under captivity and were made to serve under a master. But in ancient times, not quite like what we dealt with when it comes to the African-American experience in the United States. This is a different situation. Slaves were to be treated with honor and respect and dignity, but no matter how much they worked, they weren't family members. And it says here that verse 2 says, though the child is like the servant and no different really than the servant and Lord of all, owner of all, verse 2 says, but that child is under tutors or governors, more like trustees, if you will, until the appointed time of the father. The son is given this massive inheritance. Maybe he inherits the land, maybe he inherits the family business, whatever is the father's becomes the son. But not until that son is has reached a certain level of maturity and under appointed time of the father, then all of that that belongs to the father comes to the son and is underneath the authority and the privilege of the son. Amen. And then verse 3 says, even so we, like that example, we, when we were children, verse 3 says, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. Before we were saved, we were under the elements of the world. Now, the elements of the world is a rather complex and controversial term to break down. And I'm going to want to defer or push this back until next week, because next week it's a better place to explain it, because it's more fleshed out, if you will, in verses 8 through 11. All right. But for now, I'll simply say this just to kind of give us an understanding of what it means by when we were children in immaturity, we were under the bondage of the elements of this world. I'll just simply say this. Before Christ came, what you have had and what you still have, unfortunately, are these religious systems of self-improvement. And these self-improvement religious systems, every religion, every self-help book or advice or suggestion that comes from the world, all it does pretty much is keeps you in a position of being a slave, but not a son.
Wow.
Every religion offers the same thing. You do better, you make yourself better, you get better, and maybe you'll become better. But more importantly, it does not really solve the problem that man's greatest need, which is being reconnected to the one who made us in the first place, who is our Heavenly Father. Okay? So, the Father has created all of us, but not all of us are connected to the Father, because some of us are in the legalistic, moralistic slave system that comes from all other religions, but the faith that comes from Christ. Is that clear? Alright, so you work hard, you get better, you become better, and you still end up with no connection to God or the Father or His blessings that come from the Father. All belief systems, including the law that God made, are based on some moralistic system that can never make you right with God. You understand that? Never. It can never make you right with God. Because it always depends on self-effort. All humans are sinful and flawed. That's why it says the elemental system of the world, the elements of the world, the elementary system of the world, if you will. We know the do's and don'ts, but it can't change us. We go to elementary school. They teach you to share the ball. That didn't change your character. You're just doing it because the teacher told you to. Right? So, we're all in that system. I wish I had some tissue. I don't know where it is. I took it in the other room. All right, well, we'll have to make it happen. All right, so, there it is. Okay, thank you. We'll be right back. All right. So, again, it doesn't make you right. It depends on a human to do better. Amen. It depends on humans who are sinful and flawed, and the result will always be the same. You try to do what's right. You try to do, you know, what is considered correct or morally right and pleasing to God, but you keep missing the mark. That's what sin is. You shoot your arrow, but no matter what, it's not quite, doesn't quite hit the target. Amen. You're always in a position where you're realizing that by missing the mark, you're not good enough. And sin, more importantly, keeps us from gaining access, as we see here, into God's family. Amen. What? A slave can never be a son. A slave could never work themselves in the position of the family. A slave can never do that. But if the head of the family decides to make a slave a son, oh, now we're talking. Amen? Then that slave will be a son, and nothing can change that. Amen? If that son is really loved and accepted by the master, if that son is really loved and accepted by the head father of the family, then that former slave will be treated no different than a natural born son with all the rights and privileges that belong to him. Amen? That's the analogy that Paul wants us to see. The legalistic system, the morality system, the law, all the other religions can only bring us to a point of, as I said before, over and over again, and it's not being redundant. Paul is just painting a deeper and deeper picture. He's nailing that nail into the wood. Deeper and deeper, so that we understand and come to appreciation of the grace of God and what He's done in making us sons when we couldn't do it ourselves. Amen? Alright, so, we are natural, we're not natural born sons, but we are people who have been grafted into the family of God. Amen? Verse 4, Galatians 4 and 4 says this, but what happened? In the fullness of time, we couldn't do it ourselves. We were slaves to the elementary system, the elements of the world. Amen. The ABCs of the do and don'ts of this world. Amen. Struggling out, trying to get right, trying to be right, trying to be in God's family, trying to be accepted by God, and never going to do it. Can't do it. We're just flawed and sinful. Can't do it. What happened? In the fullness of time, when the fullness of time comes, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman and made under the law. What does that say? Well, let me first give you some scripture to give some context for this. Psalm 102, verse 13. Psalm 102, verse 13 says this. You will arise and have pity on Zion. It is the time to favor her. The appointed time has come. What is he talking about? God sent his son from heaven. Amen. To the earth. What? To change our situation. To bring us out of the bondage of slavery into the freedom of being full sons with rights and privileges. Connected to the family of God that we struggled to get into. In fact, didn't even know we needed to get into. Amen? That's what sin does. It's some kind of a thing. It keeps you completely blind to your situation and what's needed. Amen? Distracted by this world. Thinking we're doing okay. God sent his son and said, nope! This is how this is done. I am the only way, I am the only truth, I am the only life. No one cometh to the Father, thank you, Holy Spirit, but by me. Amen? So, Mark chapter 1, verse 14 and 15 says this. Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Why that statement? Well, let me tell you, saints. Rome at that time was the leading empire. Amen? And in the Kairos moment, at the perfect time, God used his sons and sent his son into the time when Rome was the empire. What was happening? God used Rome to conquer the worlds and the nations and to build roads and to make one language so that the gospel would be able to be easily transported. So the people, the feet that were, the precious souls that were saved, that were carrying the message of life, were able to travel more easily through the roads that the Romans made. They thought they were building their empire. Had no idea they were just being used by God. Amen? The time was fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. God used the Romans and set them up and made them think that they were probably all that in a bag of chips. And well, he probably didn't make a thing. They could do that on their own. But they thought that they were running everything, and God was saying, no, actually, you're just really a pawn. You're really a pawn for me to be able to present my gospel on the roads that I allow you to make, and all the nations that you're conquering, they're speaking that one language, and now the gospel can be easily understood. Are you seeing the plan of God? And then after God did all that, Rome fell. That's why we can't worry about what's happening in this country. That's why we can't get all bent out of shape, because God is in control. Empires come and go. But God, who is sovereign, remains focused on the big picture. And what's the big picture? Making sons. Huh? Bringing his children home. Uh-huh. And he is doing that and using all kinds of methods, all kinds of events in history to make sure that we hear the words of the gospel, the word of faith that causes us to be saved and become children of God. Amen? So we don't worry about what we're seeing here. Empires come and go. But God is faithful. God is sovereign. God is totally in control. And he sent his son at that time, at that perfect moment, to make sure that we heard the words of truth. Are you hearing me? Amen. All right. And in John 1 and 14, John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14. And the word, was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. What are we talking about here? God sent his son back to Galatians 4 and 4. God sent his son in the fullness of time, made of a woman, made under the law. Why? To give us the gospel. How? he redeemed us, verse 5 says, to redeem them that were under the law. That's you and me. That's everybody under the law. To redeem them that were under the law, because none of us are perfect, huh? We're all under the law so that we may be shown how much we need a Savior. Amen. What's the purpose? That we might receive, not just a way out of situations, that we might receive adoption, the adoption of sons, bringing us into his family. Wow. We belong to somebody, saints. Are you hearing that? You and I, we belong. Everybody's looking for a place to belong, who they belong to, and who they connected to. We get excited because we got 45 friends on Facebook. We think we're really connected. Don't you realize that's nothing compared to being grafted in to the family of God when you know good and well you don't deserve to be there? Ooh, hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So he sent his son, made under the law, to redeem that are under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. God is so holy. Friends, hear me. You need to understand this. This is God's plan. God is so holy, and you and I, we are just not. No, we're not. TLC members that are in the church, folks that are listening to this stream that we're on right now, one thing I need you to understand, as wonderful as you think you are, we are not. No. And we prove it. Don't we? Alright? God, because he is so perfectly holy, God cannot connect with sin. Anything in sin, anything connected to sin. God is so righteous, he will utterly destroy sin. He is so holy, sin can't even be in his presence. Are you seeing this sense? Alright? His righteousness demands. It's only right for him to destroy what is wrong. It's only right for him to correct what is out of sync. It's only right for him to utterly destroy sin. So before we are received by God, in relationship with God, sin had to be paid for. So what did he do? He sent his son, made of a woman, made under the law. Are you seeing this? God sent his son to die for our sins and to purchase our way out of the terms and conditions set forth by his holy law. The law ultimately requires death for anyone who sins. And how do we know that everyone sins? Because we die. Everybody. Have you noticed? All right. So when you say, I'm not in sin, you're lying. Everybody dies. We were born in sin, shaped in iniquity. There's results that come from that. The soul that sinneth, hallelujah, you are bringing the words in me. The soul that sinneth shall surely die. That's how we know. I'm blowing my nose, got sniffles, all these things are proof that this thing is headed towards a certain thing that we can't stop, we can't control. Amen? Alright, so ultimately, the law requires that death comes to everyone who sins. God promised Adam. He said, listen, you obey me, you live. But the day you sin, or the day you disobey me, you shall surely die. And we are all born under Adam, and that is our first federal head. But thank God for the second federal. Don't get ahead of yourself, Pastor. Slow down. The word of God says, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So Adam was our first federal head, but the perfect federal head, which is Jesus Christ, he gives us eternal life. Amen? So even though the wages of sin is death, but the gift of eternal life, is through Jesus Christ our Lord, we're still here. And while we're still here on this earth, sin makes us a slave, doesn't it? Sin makes slaves out of everyone that is controlled by sin. Not only that, saints, sin, stated in the context of Galatians 4:4, sin also creates separation and blocks us from God's holy family. We have no access. We remain slaves. Amen? So, we can work all we want to try to get right with God,
But that working never brings us to a place of rest where we just know we are children of God. Are you seeing that? Huh? We can never find acceptance in the family of God by obeying the law. Why? Because we always break the law. So what did God do? God sent his son into our situation, and Jesus perfectly obeyed his law and died to give us eternal life. And by believing in Jesus Christ, now we are graced into, not worked into. We are graced into the family of God that we couldn't even work into before. Amen? We've been purchased out of our own sinful, Satan-controlled, flesh-following slave families. Amen? And adopted into the holy family of God. Amen? And we can never be disconnected. It's over. Our past connection to our old family background is all broken. We are now children of God. Our name has been changed. And in spite of what we were, we now have all the legal rights and privileges as true sons. Isn't that amazing? Now, faith guarantees that. By faith, we are the sons of God. Verse 6, Galatians 4 and 6. And because ye are sons, talking about the security of the believer here. Now, here we go. Because we are sons and not slaves, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son. Did you catch that? The Spirit of his Son into your hearts. We have the same Spirit as the Son of God. It's his Spirit. He's in our hearts. Those of us who have believed God, who have trusted in Jesus Christ as our Savior, who have repented of our sins, who are trusting and relying on the payment of Jesus Christ to save us from the wrath of God, we have entered into the family of God. And how we know we have entered into the family of God, because God sent us someone. Woo-hoo. He is the Spirit of the Son of God. We call him the Holy Spirit. Some folks would be able to call him the Holy Ghost. Amen? The Holy Ghost. The Spirit of Christ is in the believer. I am with you now, but I shall be in you, is what Jesus promised his disciples. And don't we have him? Haven't we noticed the Spirit of his Son in us? Huh? Now, watch this. Christ obeyed the Father, and the Spirit causes us to obey the Father. Huh? Isn't that amazing? We have the Spirit of God because we are sons. So now, wait a minute now, Pastor, what are you talking about? What we're saying here is we cannot say that we have the Spirit of God's Son who obeyed the Father and walk and live in disobedience. No. If we say that, we are lying to ourselves. We do not have the Spirit. If you don't have the Spirit, you are none of his, as the Bible says. Amen? We have the same Spirit. And we are caused to obey. The Holy Spirit points to Jesus. Jesus points to the Father. The Holy Spirit causes us to act like Jesus. We have the same attributes as Jesus. When we yield to the Holy Spirit, we are proving that we are sons of God. How do we know that we are sons of God? Because we are acting like his Son. We have the same Spirit of the obedient Son who went all the way to the cross, who denied himself all the way to the cross. And we talk about, I just can't help it. No. You have the Holy Spirit. Amen? And he is an obedient Spirit. And that obedient Spirit lives in us. Amen? All right. So, that Spirit will never cause us to be okay with disobedience and will never cause us to be okay with living in sin. Now, sometimes we make mistakes and we get caught up in things and we have a bad day. We have a slip up. That's one thing. That should not cause you to believe that you're not a son. Because if you feel something about that one thing, if there's a conviction that comes from the Holy, come on somebody, from the Holy Ghost, and says, you know what, I shouldn't have said that, I shouldn't have done that, I shouldn't have been thinking that, I shouldn't be, my mind shouldn't be there, I need to come away from that. When you have the ability to turn, because sinners who are not saved by grace have no grace ability to turn. Amen. So when you have the Holy Spirit, and even if you have a slip up, amen, which we sometimes do, and raise your hand if you had one this week.
which we sometimes do, and then the Holy Spirit will convict you and say, wait a minute, you're a son. You're not a slave. You have the ability to obey. Turn from this foolishness. Be who you really are. Amen? God has sent forth His Son, the Spirit of His Son, into our hearts. Amen? Amen. 2 Peter, back this up, Pastor. 2 Peter 1 and 4. 2 Peter 1 and 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the, watch this, divine nature. Uh-huh. This is a past tense thing that has happened to the believers. We have already received the divine nature. Amen. And we're, as we walk with God, we're maturing more and more into obeying who we really, naturally, spiritually, supernaturally are. Amen. Amen. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So there's an escape for us. Don't say that we just kind of got to do what we got to do. No. That's not true. We have received, amen, back to Galatians 4 and 5. We have received, verse 6, we have received the Spirit of His Son in our hearts. Amen? All right. So what are you saying, Pastor? The security of the believers, the security of the children of God is not only about being assured of who we are, but it also has something to do with not just privileges, which we'll talk about in a minute, but also responsibility. Because when you become a son, you have to be responsible. When my son matures, he gets the keys. Not before. Under that time, after that, we are under tutors. Amen? We're under trustees. I'm going to keep you here for a minute. But after a while, the time appointed of the Father, we become saved. Amen. We begin to walk in maturity. Amen. Amen. And we have the divine nature. We have been given the Spirit. He's a guarantee that lets us know that we are children of God. There's security that comes from that. Amen. Are you seeing that? Is anybody getting that? The security comes from that. Amen. All right. Back up. Verse 6 again. Now, I tie this to this thing that I'm talking about this morning. The security of the children of God. And because ye are son, God has sent forth the Son, the Spirit of His Son, into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. One of the ways that I know that I am connected to the family of God and not a slave is the Holy Spirit, the Son, the Spirit of the Son, the Holy Spirit, is in my heart, not only telling me that I need to be responsible and need to be like Christ, amen, but He's crying, Abba Father. Hmm? Interesting. We cry, Abba Father. Hmm? I believe it's Romans 8, we cry, Abba Father. But here, the Holy Spirit is crying, Abba Father, causing us to cry, Abba Father. What does that mean? Well, we know that we have the Spirit, who is the down payment, the guarantee that gives us security. Amen? Because in our time of need, we cry to the one that we are connected to. We cry to God. The Holy Spirit causes us to cry out to our Heavenly Father. Amen? The sinner, when they get in trouble, they don't run to God. They don't know who to run to. They run to everything else but God. Just like we used to run to everything else but God. Huh? You remember that? But now, when I get in trouble, I need help from on high. When I'm in a situation that's bigger than me, when I don't know what to do, when I am, you know, in a situation where I'm pressed, my back's against the wall, and I don't know how I'm going to make it. I can't see my way out. I don't do what I used to do. I don't run to my own resources. The Holy Spirit causes me to call to my daddy. I call my Heavenly Father. Now that we are saved, We run to our Heavenly Father.
Getting emotional.
We cry like our when your babies cry. When the babies fall and they hurt themselves, what do? The first person they want to run to is mom and daddy. They call to their parent. The Holy Spirit causes the believer, when we in trouble, to call on the Father. Amen? Huh? Same thing with the believers. Huh? We cry to God. This proves that we are children, and the Father's connection to us and our connection to the Father, that brings me a security. Now I'm safe. Because I can go to God. I can go to God. I remember when I left my daddy's church as a pastor, huh? And I had to step away because we were in a situation where I was disagreeing with the direction of the church, and I wanted to take a biblical path and wanted to do some of the things that I saw here in this word. And I felt like I was not allowed to do that. I'm just going to be honest with you. I was having a tough time. That situation was bigger than me. There were so many emotions. So many things that were in me, so many things I was dealing with, it was like a ripping, a tearing away. Amen? I had to go. And I was like, well, I don't know what I'm going to do. Where are we going to have church? I stepped down thinking nobody was coming for me and my mom, my wife and my mama, and my son. And I had all these people that came with me. I was like, oh, what are we going to do? I cried out to God. And God heard the voice of his child because the Holy Spirit was in the child. And I cried out to God, and God has met me every, it's been almost 10 years, and we haven't missed a Sunday. We've been having church ever since. It's just amazing. God heard the prayer of his child when I was in trouble and it was just too much for me. I cried out to God and God met me and said, Jamie, I will not only be the God of Bishop Hawkins, I will be the God and Father of Jamie Hawkins. I will be the God and Father of everybody that calls on me. Because why? Because my spirit is in you and I will not deny myself. I will not deny. The Spirit is one with Jesus. Jesus is one with the Father. And we are in Christ, so we are one with him. Come on, somebody, get that. He will not deny himself. Somebody calling me, that sounds like my child. The Spirit causes me to cry out, Abba, Father. Daddy, I need you. This is too much for me. And every Sunday, we haven't wanted for nothing. I'm not saying that to boast. I'm saying that I boast in God who has provided everything for me. And when I got into a situation that was too big for me and I didn't think I was going to make it, God let me know he hears my prayer. Huh? So, Father, I don't know what you're dealing with. I don't know what it is, but listen, when my wife and I, when we found out, you know, some time ago that she had cancer, too big. Too big. What does the world do? The world runs all over the place. They search for an answer. They search for, you know, a solution. And there is no solution. There is no comfort. There is no security like being in the arms of God. Amen. Are you hearing me, saints? We didn't know what we were going to do. What did we do? We cried out to God. Abba, Father. And God is like, listen, I already know about that. I already seen that. I got all this under control. It's all under control. My wife is doing better. She's feeling better. The tumors are shrinking. We're going with God. She's looking good. Amen. Amen. Getting more energy. I'm homeschooling, teaching, frying little girl's hair. It's all good. We ain't stopped. Amen. Why? Tell you what, the Holy Spirit causes us to call on the right resource. Now, we are children of God. Amen? We know we are children of God. We are secure in that because the Holy Spirit gives us. When trouble comes, the Holy Spirit in us causes us not to call out to every other source. We only have one source. There's only one name. Huh? There's only one God. We call out to God. In this time of uncertainty, in this time of being in a pandemic, in times of distress, in times of health challenges, in times of financial crisis, the sons, the children, the secure children of God, they call Abba, Father. I hope you got that. I hope you got that. Slaves have to muster up their own resources. They have to be creative. They have no one that can call on. The children of God, we just call on God. And he hears the voice of his children. Now, Galatians 4:7. Wherefore? Because the Holy Spirit has been deposited and has been proven that we have him because we are responsible children that act like Jesus Christ, live like Jesus Christ. When we don't act like Jesus Christ, live like Jesus Christ, we're convicted to become the people that we actually really are, children of God. And when we get in trouble, we have that Holy Spirit. When we are in a situation where it's too much for us, we cry out, Father, we cry, Abba, Father. Wherefore, verse 7 says, thou art no more a servant. Thank you, Lord. But a son. And here's the thing, it's not just that we have someone to call on when things get rough. It's not just that we are putting on the divine nature and submitting to the Holy Spirit and becoming responsible. It's responsibility and privileges. If what thou art no more a servant but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God. Responsibility and privilege. Here's the thing, saints. The works of the law only bring you into the position of a slave. Faith brings you in the position of a son. And sons have privileges. Sons are heirs of an inheritance. I love my boys. I love my girls. Everything I have, even though they don't have it right now in their grasp, it's already theirs, is it not? Same thing with the children of God. Come on, somebody, get this. If we don't have it all in full right now. We've only got the down payment, but the down payment is enough to let us know that we got it all coming. It's coming. It's already ours. We're not slaves. Here's the big point, Saint. Saints, sons have an inheritance. We are heirs of God. Sons and daughters of the Most High God. Works of the law don't produce that. Only faith produces that. The faith of a slave versus the faith of a son. Are you seeing the difference here? Well, the slave works for the master but owns nothing, gets nothing, maybe is responsible for some things and put in charge of some things, but he owns nothing. Sons, even if we've been responsible for 2 seconds of our lives, the bottom line is when we become mature and come into faith, everything is ours. Everything. We get it all. Are you hearing me, saints? We get it all. We are. What I'm trying to say to you people is the children of God are extremely wealthy. Woo! We're rich. We have it all. We have blessings that cannot be taken away. And those blessings, as it says here, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God. Huh? We are an heir through Christ Jesus. That's how we have it. Amen. 1 Peter 1:4. Not 2 Peter, 1 Peter this time, 1:4. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Your inheritance, children, secure children of God, can never be taken from you because it's kept safe from this rotten, decaying, corruption-filled world. It can't even diminish its value. It can't depreciate. It's in heaven. Untouchable. Amen? But also, because you are a son of God, you are in Christ Jesus, God will never stop loving his son, will he? So because we are in Christ Jesus, the inheritance can never be taken away from us. We are sealed. The Holy Spirit has sealed us into the family. That means you can't get out. Not only do we have the mark, the seal of approval, but also the sealing, which means you can't get out. You're in. Amen? Your inheritance is safe.
God will never stop loving his son, and because we are in Jesus Christ, he'll never stop loving us. That's the security of the children of God. Are you seeing this, saints? So, when you know that you got something, you act different, don't you? When you know that you got something, you make different decisions. When you know that you got something, your options are a little different than everybody else, aren't they? Amen? God wants us to know that we are loved by him. Huh? And Satan, this is what Satan wants us to do. Satan wants us to never know that love. Satan wants us to search all over the world for that love, but never find it in the Father. That's what he wants. That's the trick. Amen? Ephesians 1:11. Watch this. Write these verses down. Ephesians 1:11. In whom? In Christ. We have obtained an inheritance, being predestined and chosen before time, before you can do anything, chosen before time, according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his will. God wanted you. God loved you. God chose you. He worked in your circumstances to bring you to a place of faith. The Holy Spirit gave you the faith, and then he graced you into the family of God. And now you have an inheritance. Amen? You're not spiritually broke. No! No. We're not spiritually broken people. No, listen, we may have hard times. We may go through situations, but your situation cannot speak to who you really are in Christ. No, those two things can be totally different. The question is do you know it? And from that you get your security, because this thing can change any time. The foundation of what we're building on is that no matter what happens, I am an heir with an inheritance. I don't care what it looks like right now. I am filthy rich. I am ridiculously wealthy. Are you hearing me? I'm not just talking about monetary or material things. I'm talking about the things that can never fade away. Huh? Security of mind, peace with God, the grace of God, huh? We don't get the best health care in the world when we leave here. We can't even get sick. Are you hearing me? Come on now. This is incredible. Can't even cry. I tell you all the time, we can't even cry when we get there. That's our inheritance. It's reserved. It's being kept. We are being kept for it, and it's being kept for us. Yeah. All right. Ephesians 1:13-14. Let's wrap this up. Ephesians 1:13-14. In whom ye also trusted. Who? Who's whom? Jesus Christ. That's how all these blessings come. In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom? Who? Jesus Christ. Also, after ye believed, ye were, here it is again, sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. There's your security. Amen. Which is the earnest. What's that? The down payment of the inheritance. We got the Holy Spirit now, but in a minute we don't get so much. We can't even put our minds can't even wrap our minds around how big our inheritance is, saints. That's what I'm trying to explain to you. Amen? Unto the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. The guarantee that God will give us all that he has promised is what you are already possessing. More importantly, who you are already possessing. Who is that? The Holy Spirit. He is your down payment. He is your reason for security. He is your reason why you have everything. Jesus died and he deposited the Holy Spirit in you. Amen? When Jesus rose again, God accepted his sacrifice. There is no question about our position with God. Once we believe, we receive the Holy Spirit. He is our down payment. He is the proof that we're going to get everything God promises. Amen? Amen. We already have it. We already have it. Now here's the catch. In that same chapter of Ephesians, chapter of Ephesians, verses 17 and 18, Paul prayed that we would actually know this and believe this. Huh? And be able to somehow, through the power of the Holy Spirit, be able to calculate just a fraction of what's coming to us. Wouldn't that change everything, saints? Wouldn't that change everything? He said here, verse 17, that the God, he's praying, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding, being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what is the riches of His glory, of His inheritance in the saints. Are you seeing this, people? The catch is, do you know? The catch is, here's the thing. Pastor Hawkins is reminding himself and you today, of just how secure you really are. I told you, people that have something, they act differently. My sister and I, we grew up around entertainers. Every now and then an actor would come to, you know, my dad's church, or a sports figure, or somebody, or a politician, and we would go out to eat with them, and my sister and I would look at them because they, you know, they just acted differently than all of us. You know, this is, maybe they were, some of them might have been arrogant, I don't know. But you know, what I really think is like, they had options. we got a little something. We're not tripping off what everybody else is tripping off. Wouldn't that be interesting as a believer? We're going to do that. If we could rehearse the truth of God and get it in our minds to the point to where it moves from our minds to our hearts, and then whatever we are facing, we will recognize and realize that we are secure. That we have the Holy Spirit. He is the down payment. Amen? He is our security. We can't work for it. We've been brought out of the position of slavery into being sons and daughters of the Most High God. No one higher than Him. And we are secure through Christ Jesus in the family of God. All these assurances and blessings come through Jesus. Now, how much do we appreciate Him now? In spite of what we're going through, in spite of what we're dealing with, in spite of the challenges of life, we have options, people, that the world does not have. We have access to truth. Are you seeing that? We have access to the truth. But if you don't know it, then you're a slave. All around God's blessing, but not a possessor of any of it. Access to the family inheritance has been denied and blocked. Because your sins have not been washed in the blood of the Lamb. You have not received the Son, and the Son has not received you. Do you know Jesus? It doesn't have to be that way. You can trust in Him today. He will forgive your sins, wash you clean, acknowledge the Son of God, so that when the time comes, He will acknowledge you. There will be no inheritance without Him, because everything is through Him. Are you a slave or a son? Are you depending on your own impotent resources? Are you trusting in the righteousness of Jesus Christ?